Live.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to CNN News Tonight. We wanted to highlight the stories of the migrants that are traveling into this country, the undocumented migrants. You know, Fox News will give a lot of airplay to this, talking about how we have, adult males, single file moving into this country. But I feel like that is not the case. We're not talking about the oppression that these migrants are facing on a day-to-day basis. And today we have a very brave undocumented migrant who's decided to be on CNN Tonight and talk about his journey. Thank you for being on.
What's up, SA?
What's up? First question here. What was it like coming into the United States? Talk about the difficulty of your journey to get here.
It was just tumultuous. I mean, getting to go across the border, getting picked up by ICE, and then just being let go. It was pretty difficult.
By let go, do you mean whipped by Border Patrol agents and told to leave America? I feel like that's what you meant to say.
There were some horses, and they had reins on the horses, but no, they didn't whip me. So they're actually really nice to me, and they brought me over, and now I'm just getting free stuff from the government, which is pretty cool.
Well, sir, tell me about how horrible the facility was, how horrible it was for you to get transported even to where you are today to be on this show tonight.
Not too bad, actually. They've all been really nice to me, and they've been giving me free stuff.
Cut his mic.
I'm going to New York.
Cut his mic.
I'm going to go vote. Guys,
cut his mic.
Where's my more free stuff?
Anyways, guys, this has been CNN
Tonight.
Come on,
Holmes.
We are going to continue to have breaking coverage on.
Free stuff, SA.
Who didn't cut his mic is my question. Anyways, guys, welcome to Will and Amala Live. Thank you so much for watching, and we hope you're watching on the new channel. That is Will and Amala Live on YouTube. Go search that up and subscribe there. Eventually, we're going to be exclusively streaming on that channel, posting exclusive content and clips just for you guys on that channel. So go to Will and Amala Live and subscribe. We will warn you guys before we transfer over there, but eventually we will be. Now, we're going to be talking about immigration today at some point in a crazy story that Bill Malugan of Fox News has posted for us and has broke for us. But first, we have other things to talk about. What we're going to get to tonight, we're going to talk about Glenn Beck and this phenomenon known as ESGs, which we might see ramping up in the future with our government and the way that businesses run. We're talking Barry Weiss and her recent appearance on Bill Maher. Plus, we have truck drivers staging a massive protest in Ottawa, Canada. So we're going to cheer them on today on the show. Plus, talk about COVID and its effect on universities, and it is TikTok Tuesday. So let's get into story number one, and this is something that we should have on our radar. It's something that we should be worried about, particularly as it pertains to corporate America and building business in America, and that is ESGs. For those of you who are unfamiliar, Glenn Beck did a segment on his show explaining exactly what the phrase ESG means and how it's going to impact you in the future. Here's that segment.
Environmental, energy, water, land. How much land do you have? Are you dedicating that to a preserve? How about water? What's your water usage? What's your energy usage? Are you using renewables? How many cars do you have? How much gas do you use? Environmental, E, that score will go down if you don't have a house that has solar panels, if you're a company that engages at all with dirty fuels. Social justice, how woke are you? Have you told your people to be less white? Are you anti-police? Is it okay to protest and march and burn down cities for BLM, but definitely not, because you are against the vaccine mandates? Then great, you're gonna do great on social justice scores. And governance, your business. How many women do you employ? How many minorities? Who's on the board of directors? Here's the great thing. When it comes to stakeholder capitalism, it's not shareholder, it's not you. It's the stakeholders. It's the government, the governments of the world, the banks, and the businesses. But you know how they have a board of directors? Yeah, the government has what in ESG land is called a golden stake. So even after all of this, if the company says, yeah, but we're not going to do that, that's just not good for us, the golden stake can be driven through their heads by the government, and they will say, no, you are doing this. That's ESG. Now, that's the lever that they are using, as Janet Yellen just mentioned. ESG, environmental, social, and governance. Basically, if a bank or a company doesn't meet the standards of those three metrics, then they're giving a low grade that looks similar to a credit score. Credit doesn't matter. How are you on the environment? How are you with women's issues? What happens when you get a low or failing credit rating? Well, you're locked out because that's not the direction the world is going.
Go ahead and pause there, and you guys can check that out by watching Glenn Beck's show on Blaze TV. But that should be terrifying to hear for everybody watching, that they are going to start judging companies and giving them a score based on environment, social, and governance. And it's not even that they're going to start. They already are doing this. It's only going to ramp up further from that. And what they will be given, again, like you said, is a score that's going to evaluate the sort of regulations and tax cuts that these businesses get. So we're going to see incentivized social justice warriors in our corporations now.
Yeah, and it's even the scarier thing is that so many of these larger corporations are probably already doing this to lobby the government to make these types of standards that they want. And so then when they get to dictate the standards, then they get to crush out basically all competition. And many businesses as well who don't want to do this will go overseas, also costing America jobs and costing America money. And so when they're going and they're lobbying for these things, I mean, you're going to have companies like Coca-Cola lobbying for clean environmental practices, while Coca-Cola is also building plants in third world countries, diverting groundwater away from communities that actually really need it, right? So all of these things are going to be useless. They're not going to mean anything, but they're going to be a way so that the elites in this country and the corporations and the banks, exactly like Glenn Ben talked about, are going to be able to accumulate even more power and divert it into an even more condensed bureaucratic way where everything is going to be controlled by the exact same types of people, the exact same elitist group of people. There is going to be no diversity of small businesses because a small business, I mean, what are they supposed to do about this? They can't afford to get, you know, something that filters their I don't know, I'm just making an example, filters their air to make it greener or something like that, some weird standard. But a huge restaurant chain can do that, and they work with a larger corporation that lobbies the government to do it. And, you know, it's like they're going to crush out all small business. It's not about ideals. This isn't about values or morals. This is about silencing the little guy.
It's going to crush small businesses in America, and then you're going to get the corporate messaging that we've already been subjected to, albeit most of the time subliminally, but now it's going to be overt. This political messaging about the environment and social justice is going to ramp itself up even more because they get cuts for that. They're getting benefits for that. They're getting patted on the back for that. This diversity hires and affirmative action is going to ramp itself up because they get pats on the back for that as well. You're not going to be able to trust the quality of anybody providing a service to you because you won't know why they're hired. Is it because they're a woman? Is it because they're black? Is it because they're Hispanic? Or should it be because they're good at their job? And that's exactly the issue that we're going to start to see here. And it's ridiculous. And I think about this even on a long-term scale. Let's imagine that they implement this in corporations, which they have, but if they do it on a larger scale than what they're doing now, and small businesses are X'd out and they go, you know what? Why don't we blend this down into a social credit score? Why don't we start using this on consumers? Why don't we start judging what people consume and buy based on whether or not it's good for the environment, if it's good for social equity, if it's good for governance and promotes diversity? And then instead of giving corporations and companies ESG scores, let's give people their own ESG scores and see how that is communicated through the banks and through credit. This could be extremely problematic.
Yeah, I was reading Tocqueville last night, Democracy in America. You guys know a French aristocrat who went to America to study democracy in this country in the early 1800s. And one of the things that was such a clear indication, I mean, he was exactly right about it, was that when you take out all these different institutions that you had in hierarchical systems like in Europe, and you just have the government being essentially the next step next to the people, you get, first of all, a very apathetic people. And secondly, you get actually a tyranny that is not in these more hierarchical societies, monarchical societies that you have in Europe, because these small administrators, which we essentially now live in the administrative state in America, are putting in all these little edicts all the time. And you find that the people in these small bureaucratic positions actually wield so much power that people don't know about because they become apathetic with the democracy that we have in this country. It was a clear indication of what this country was headed towards. And I think it couldn't be any more clear. If you guys haven't read Democracy in America, I urge you all to go and read it. It's a fascinating book about the failures and of and uses of democracy in this country.
So there is yet another fight to have on your radar, the fight against ESGs and these sort of government regulations, because it is going to get ridiculous. And they will take what is happening on a large scale now and make it happen on a small scale. If this is any indication of where they're going, it's going to affect your day-to-day life and whether or not we have small businesses in this country. And it's ridiculous.
And the way to do these standards, I mean, they're going to have to tax people as well to be able to afford, you know, because so many of these companies, I mean, they get funds from taxpayer dollars to be able to work, so many of them, especially if they're energy companies, things like that. You're going to have to increase taxes on people, further making it so that businesses are going to leave the country and go to other places, and just unifying all of the power at the top. I mean, this is the great reset. This is the great reset for you, straight right there. And they do it under the guise of social justice and environment and make it all seem so apocalyptic, and we're helping the minority, but really it is the tyranny of the majority over normal people who just want to be left alone. Like I did this rally in New York, or not New York, in DC this weekend, and I was on Dennis's show yesterday talking about it, and Dennis said, Will, you know how he talks? And he said, what type of people were there? Were it these anti-vaxxers, these horrible people that the mainstream media is saying they are? And it's like, no, these are just normal people. These are people who just a year ago, 2 years ago, were just working at a bank or working at a grocery store, or he worked in marketing in some place, right? And had a family and just wanted to be left alone. That's who these people are. But now they're getting labeled as terrorists and anti-vaxxers and racists and all this kind of stuff. People just want to get back to normal.
Yep. And then your hard-earned taxpayer dollars are going to go towards opening an ESG committee or department that gets to oversee all of this. So you will get to fund that. You will get to pay for it, and you will like it. So
you will love it.
Yeah. It's just fantastic. Speaking of Dennis Prager, Dennis and I are hosting the show tomorrow. Will's not going to be here. Will, where are you going to be?
Heading off to Europe. Tote scenes.
Wow. He's learning so much already.
I am. I really am. So headed off to Europe tomorrow. Headed to Amsterdam, Hungary, Romania, Monaco, all over the continent. So we'll see how it goes. I'm very excited for it. It's going to be quite the time.
And Dennis will be sitting in for Will. So I hope you guys are all there to watch tomorrow again on the Will and Amla live channel. Dennis will be sitting in and we'll be going through our full hour with him. So I'm excited. Yeah. Now let's move on to a controversial video. It's got over 4 million views now on Twitter. And it's of Barry Weiss on Bill Maher talking specifically about the COVID-19 pandemic and how it's been far too long and she's over it. This has garnered a bunch of different reactions. And we'll get into those reactions after we watch the video. Here's the clip.
It's I went so hard on COVID.
I remember.
Sprayed the Pringles cans that I bought at the grocery store, stripped my clothes off because I thought COVID would be on my clothes. Like, I did it all. I watched Tiger King. I got to the end of Spotify. Like, we all did it, right?
Well, here's the thing. A lot of us did do it.
And then we were told, you get the vaccine. You get the vaccine and you get back to normal. And we haven't gotten back to normal. And it's ridiculous at this point. I know that so many of my liberal and progressive friends are with me on this, and they do not want to say it out loud because they are scared to be called anti-vax or to be called science denial or to be, you know, smeared as a Trumper. I'm sorry, if you believe the science, you will look at the data that we did not have 2 years ago, and you will find out that cloth masks do not do anything. You will realize that you can show your vaccine passport at a restaurant and still be asymptomatic and carrying Omicron. And you will realize, most importantly, that this is going to be remembered by the younger generation as a catastrophic moral crime. The city of Flint, Michigan, which is 80%, I think, minority students, has just announced indefinite virtual schooling. In the past 2 years, we've seen among young girls a 51% increase in self-harm. People are killing themselves. They are anxious. They are depressed. They are lonely. That is why we need to end it more than any inconvenience that it's been to the rest of us. I think it's like at this point, it's a pandemic of bureaucracy.
Okay. Pause there. First and foremost, let's talk about Barry Weiss for a second. Barry Weiss has plenty of good things to say. She's been a liberal that has, you know, somewhat helped garner a little bit more support for conservative ideas through the work that she's doing through her Substack. She's highlighted a lot of important issues that liberals tend to take issue with, and she's taken another side on that. However, I don't think we treat this video any differently than we treat the way the New York Times reported on COVID or the way that the Atlantic reported on COVID after saying, oh, 2 years has been too much. What we said back then when we watched those articles is too little, too late. How is that not the same for Barry Weiss?
Same thing that I said to you guys before the show when we were talking about this. The CEO of Pfizer just about a week ago came out and said, yes, there are some issues with this vaccine. There's some issues with spread and what has happened. It is a new strain. We need to rethink our strategy. Okay. And they admitted it. Okay. The CEO of the company that put out the drug that everyone has been putting into their body came out and said that. It is in no way brave to come out and say on a national TV show like Bill Maher, and Bill Maher has also been saying these things, to come out and say this and then, you know, expect to be heralded as someone who is incredibly brave. And she said in the clip, she said, you know, 2 years ago, we didn't have this information. We did. This information has been there for a long time. I was interviewing doctors a month after the first COVID cases arrived in America and was saying this information from the start. Dr. Jeff Barkey, I was interviewing him in the PragerU studios. Dr. Simone Gold, I was interviewing them. And these people were laughed off as quacks. We have known this information. We've had it for years. You can't now hop on and expect the praise when you weren't there with all of us who were saying this for so long and when we were getting censored off social media and banned and told by people that we're no longer allowed to participate in the national conversation. And still when we do this march against the mandates, I'm getting just horrible, horrible pushback from people. You can't come on and then expect the praise. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting thing that she said in this video where she said, I have a lot of my friends who are liberals and progressives who are scared to come out and say this because they are scared of being called anti-science or deniers of COVID. Who would be calling you that? What side of the aisle would be calling you that? Because if I recall correctly, it would be liberals and progressives. So now you have a group of liberals and progressives who are scared to come out and tell the truth because they created a climate that didn't incentivize people telling the truth and that hid the truth from the American people. So is that any fault of ours that you don't feel comfortable coming out and telling the truth anymore?
No, I mean, you're exactly right. They created that culture where we were trying to put out the real information, putting out this information for months. I mean, for months and months, we've been saying these things on the show. I mean, even before that, I've been saying things, getting censored, all of it. You know, conservatives who were at the helm of this, and not even just conservatives, but doctors, freedom fighters, people who worked in the airline industry, restaurant owners, all this kind of stuff. We've been saying this stuff for months and months, and we're written off as the worst people in the world, that we wanted people to die.
Yeah.
I mean, I still got messages all day today from people messaging me, why do I want people to die? Because I did this march the other day.
Right.
And it's like, we've been going through this for months. You can't now get the pass because you're saying it now when it's no longer brave to do so.
Yeah.
You know, you do it when that's doing it when it's safe. You are now doing it when it's safe to do so.
Yeah.
I wish that these same people would have been there months ago to say this kind of stuff with us because maybe we could have got more done. Maybe we could have changed more.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now it's too late. Now Pfizer is coming out and Dr. Fauci's praising them, saying that, you know, now we're going to make a new shot for Omicron. We're going to do another shot for Omicron. It's like by the time you develop this, there's going to be no more Omicron. It's going to already peak and then be over.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, is anyone going to say anything about that? And except for the conservatives and people who are the freedom loving doctors? No, no one's going to say anything about it.
And don't get me wrong. I'm happy that Barry Weiss said this. And I think her saying this is going to have liberals and progressives that tend to side with her and her viewpoints and the viewpoints of her friends question the way they think about the COVID-19 pandemic. And they might start to vocalize that, which by all means and by every measure is a great thing. But I don't think we should go around saying this is, you know, so great that 2 years later, after we've been saying this for 2 years, it's so fantastic that Barry Weiss said it. It is a good thing. It will have good outcomes. But it does not, you know, deserve cheerleaders.
I'm happy that she said the truth.
Yes.
I'm happy that she said the truth. But, you know, again, like we talked about before, with Dr. Robert Malone was someone who got vaccinated. I mean, he was the creator of these vaccines. And, you know, he had a totally different opinion about all this at the beginning and now has changed his mind. But that doesn't feel like the same thing.
Sure.
Right? Why does this statement not feel the same as Dr. Malone. Because Dr. Malone is someone who went through it and saw the science through and was brave enough to still say things about it when it was not cool to say it, right? You know, and now he's just been slandered and destroyed by so many people.
Yep.
You know, and that's the difference, is that you, when you say things when it's not easy, that is when you are a warrior. That is when you are brave. Mm-hmm. When you say things when it's easy to say them, what are you?
Yeah. That's why the point is not that, you know, we were right and you were wrong. Mm-hmm. The point is, all this harm that she's talking about, that girls inflicting harm upon themselves, kids not being able to learn and mm-hmm. having difficulty in schools, them being shut down indefinitely, and the excess overall mortality's up massively year over year, that is active harm and destruction that was being wrought in the absence of you saying anything.
Yep.
And, you know, and so you're accountable to the damage that's being done while you're silent. And that's why it lacks courage for you to stand up and say things when you know them. You're accountable to the truth. Yep. You're not accountable to me. At the end of the day, what I say, whether you have my approval in what you say or not, doesn't matter. But,
exactly.
But all that damage that was done on your watch, we were doing everything we could. We were screaming from the rooftops. We were getting censored, banned, everything. And while you guys were quiet, while you guys were just waiting and seeing what happens, and like the treatments were suppressed, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's we did everything we can. Can you say the same? You know, right. when you knew what you knew, did you speak up or did you wait until it was safe? You know,
yeah.
Especially when the truth has been so available, you know,
yeah.
All you have to do is go and look at any of the medical studies or read any of the things these doctors are saying, or look at the charts of death or sickness or hospitalizations from any of these countries. I mean, it's right there in front of you. You know, there, and especially, you know, someone who's a diligent journalist. I mean, you would think that this is like your number one priority, right? It was there. Yeah. It was there.
Consistency.
There is
important.
Not an excuse.
Yeah.
You know,
we got some comments on the Will and Amelie live channel. Here's one from Abracadabra. Says, I don't think that's fair. A fair characterization of Barry Weiss. She took a lot of slings and arrows when she wrote for The New York Times and broke away from the liberal cult. You can examine these two different things on the separate planes. Maybe she did. I took a lot of slings when I said, you know, I'm a conservative. Will did the same. Taylor did the same. That doesn't speak to whether or not you denied the truth for 2 years during this pandemic and are now going to lay claim and say, well, I stood up and I said, look at all these kids who are being harmed when 2 years ago you didn't do anything.
Right.
It's totally two different separate situations.
Yeah. No, I respect... I mean, when Barry Weiss did that, what did we do on the show?
We talked about it
on the show. We talked about other Barry Weiss articles on the show. I remember the one about the newspaper in China getting shut down, the Apple News, right? And their headquarters getting raided. It was a Barry Weiss article. We talked about it and praised her bravery for going and talking about that.
Right.
Right? There's no problem then talking about that. We are all for it. When it comes to this, it's a different situation.
Yeah, credit when credit is due and credit is not due.
And what, discredit? Is that the word? or and acknowledgement of failure when there is failure.
Yep, exactly.
You have to be able to do both.
Exactly,
like,
right.
You know, no one is perfect. No one is infallible.
Yeah.
You know? But to not call out things when we see it. This is the problem. The problem is with conservatism in general, is that conservatives, our cultural grounding is so bad and so weak that we see Barry Weiss come out and say this. And the only reason we're talking about this is because so many conservatives came out and were just fawning over it. Mm-hmm. Like it's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is not the greatest. You have heard this from my voice, almost other people's voices for months and months, you know? And it's like, so many people have been saying these things. So why are now conservatives, just because someone who's kind of liberal said this, just like bending over backwards?
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's how weak conservatism is. That is why we're talking about this, that we can't as conservatives just be doing it like that. We have to take things as they are.
Mm-hmm. And one single statement would have made this video clip a lot better for me. And it's her saying, and I wish I had said this 2 years ago, or 100%. I wish I had said this a year ago, or I'm sorry that I didn't say this a year ago because all the data was available. That one sentence would have fixed the whole thing for me.
That would have changed everything.
Yep.
That literally would have changed everything.
Yep. Because like we talk about, in every single structural issue, social issue, political issue we talk about, the true failing is a lack of accountability. So someone can go on the show and say all this great stuff, and that is true stuff that we've been saying this the whole time, but has no accountability for what they said prior.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you do a group project at school, and the two people do all the work, and then the third person steps in at the last minute and like, writes the title.
Right.
And they're like, oh, thanks. You really did a lot there.
Yeah,
you know, it's like,
so
where
fantastic.
Were you for the rest of the group project? And well, we were working on it the whole time. You know, but then you still get all this credit from the teacher. Yep. It's like the teacher was lied to.
There we go, guys.
And we talked about this earlier, too, but it's like I think a lot of the positivity that you hear from the conservative side when someone like this speaks up or a celebrity speaks up is just this sense of relief that like, okay, you know, I mean, it's like a celebrity or someone in the mainstream media validating a true position doesn't make it more true. It was already true to begin with.
Yes.
You know, but I think conservatives aren't vindictive. Like we said this on the other day on the show, like if once these restrictions and stuff are lifted, it's like that all we want is mm-hmm. just to go back to normal. We just want our lives back. Leave us alone. Look, I don't need to like punish you or whatever. I mean, part of me is like, that's deserved. Mm-hmm. But I think this is kind of the flip side of this is like, but also don't expect any credit from us. Don't expect a pat on the back whenever you're finally acknowledging things we've been saying all along.
Yeah,
and the problem
and
is
watch.
They do expect the pat on the back.
Yeah. Right. Because watch what's going to happen in a year or 2 years or when at whatever point this pandemic ends. The people who end it and you know, let you go back to normal are going to say, look what I did. Look what I did for you. And if only you had just let me do this from the beginning, even though I created the situation. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
So let's move on. One more piece of pandemic news. And this is out of Ottawa, Canada. 50,000 trucks are going to be heading to Ottawa, Canada to do a protest for hashtag truckers for freedom to go against these mandates and the COVID regulations in Canada. And it's amazing. So they're all going to stop working. They're all going to head over there and they're all going to fight for their freedom. And it's a freedom that they deserve and that they should have had since the beginning of this pandemic. And you're going to see a big issue here. And the big issue is that your society will not be able to function without you giving people the freedom that they deserve. And I'm so happy to see this happening.
Canadians are going to have to take a little break from their maple syrup if they don't.
Yep.
And those restrictions, all those trucks are going to be stopped.
Sorry to all the Canadian listeners.
You sound like a Canadian saying sorry.
Hey, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. No, it's fantastic. That's what you have to do. But that's a big deal.
It is.
I mean, what, 50,000 trucks?
50,000 trucks. You know
how many trucks?
That's a ton of people. That's a ton of trucks.
500,000 people were a part of this protest.
Right.
People are, as the trucks go through city after city, people are lining the streets and like cheering them on.
Yeah, right. And what, during our supply chain crisis, what were we were short, what, 80,000 trucks? And that created devastating effects to people being able to get supplies, products, and commodities. Imagine what that's going to do for Canada.
Well, yeah, because Canada is the same population as California.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's way
huge.
Different. So this is a huge deal. I can't tell you guys in Canada how important that is. It's a very brave thing to do, though, because you are, in a sense, denying the people of your country resources that they actually need to stand up for what is right. And that's a very, very brave thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope that people that's not lost on people.
Yeah.
How important it is what these people are doing.
Yeah. So if you are going to comply with tyrannical measures, your life is going to be a little less comfortable because there's going to be a group of people who support you day in and day out by doing the work that they do. And it is difficult work that is really structural to the way that these countries, foundational to the way these countries function. They're going to stop and they're going to make your life less comfortable as it should be.
I think it shows a good point that the people who are protesting are truckers. What are truckers and throughout the world, you know, America, Canada, and the West?
Mm-hmm.
They are normal working class people.
Yep.
Right? That's what truckers are.
Yep.
They're normal people and like they grow up in the Midwest maybe, you know, and they become a trucker. That's like just a good job that you get. It's reliable. And these are the people that these things affect the most, that these edicts and these mandates affect the most because these are the backbone of our country.
Mm-hmm.
But because these people might not be, oh, these college educated, ivory tower, mm-hmm. you know, living in an urban city type of people, they get left behind.
Yep.
You know? And this is why this is why populism is so popular at the moment. Why it's getting so much steam. Why this political ideology? Because the people who are the middle class, hardworking, normal, sweat off my back type of people. These are the people who are being forgotten, and that is why this is so important. Because those people are forgotten by the elites and the bureaucrats and the ivory tower type of people.
Yep, exactly right. Meanwhile, Oh, let's see what we're dealing with in America. Here's a breaking news story from Bill Malugan. We talked about him on this show quite a bit. He works for Fox LA, and he specifically focuses on immigration. So he's done several groundbreaking stories as it applies to illegal immigration into the United States. Here is his newest on Twitter. We witnessed the federal government mass releasing single adult migrants, almost all men, at a parking garage in Brownsville. Taxi cabs were then called for them. We followed the taxis to Harlington Airport, where the migrants were dropped off to get on flights around the U.S. Now, here's a video of this actually happening. At least they have their masks on, though, right? Right, guys?
Describe what's happening for the listeners.
So there are men, migrant men, exiting these buses right now and being brought into a facility. Eventually, they're going to be transported from this facility to a U.S. airport to go to whatever city of their choosing, I imagine. And this will mostly be funded by the federal government. So that is fantastic. And there's clear-cut video of this happening. You can check out his Twitter. There's several more videos. Now, he goes on in the chain to say, there are black tarps set up around the parking garage to obstruct the public's view. In a statement, the city of Brownsville confirmed to me that they use this spot to work with the federal government to facilitate travel for migrants released from federal custody. Single adult migrants are supposed to be expelled from the county via Title 42. CBP tells me they had no involvement with the releases. And I saw source tells me there were ICE releases. ICE tells me they're looking into it. I'm awaiting further comment from them. Yep. So, great. Not only do we have a massive influx of illegal immigration at our border, which we all know is notorious for bringing in drugs, opiates, fentanyl at record levels. Also cheese now, which you guys will get more details about in our next upcoming vlog with Andrew Gruhl, the owner of Slapfish. apparently a very lucrative business, but so they're bringing drugs to our border. They are committing sex crimes at the border against young children and young women specifically. And there's massive human trafficking happening at the border as well. So not only are we dealing with that, but we're dealing with, once these migrants are put through the system and, you know, given their fake names and given their fake identification markers, they are now being facilitated through ICE and through the federal government into the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is, I'm really glad that we're worried about the border of Ukraine and keeping Ukraine a sovereign nation and not so worried about America. That's the right thing to do, right? America is just so racist and horrible. But every single city in America now is a border town because people from the border are shipped to every single town in America. So whether you're in the East Coast, the West Coast, up north, Midwest, every single city is a border town now. And, you know, they're talking about this Remain in Mexico policy. The administration has said, oh, we've reinstituted this Remain in Mexico policy that we had during the last administration, but they didn't actually do it. They didn't actually do it, and it's only going to get worse. It's all smoke and mirrors, these things that they're saying to help at the border. And because they are making it so easy for people to get into this country and have no requirements for getting into this country illegally, people are just coming across. And then even when they are shipped out, even if they commit a crime, are shipped out, mm-hmm. they come back in mm-hmm. and are committing more crimes when they come back in again. Shows you just how little your politicians, your bureaucrats actually care about you. Because if they cared about you, they would shut this country down and not let anyone enter here illegally at all.
Yep. But
that's
now,
what a sovereign nation does.
But now they're allowing it, and at your cost, you get to pay for it. And they will hop on the news and either A, not talk about the situation and the surge, which is unprecedented. I say that again. We have an unprecedented surge of illegal immigration that we have yet to see in this country. And they will get on the news and either A, completely ignore it, or B, sell you the narrative that we are bigots for not wanting people in this country, and that these are families and these are children who are being separated at the border, when you just watch with your own eyes a busload full of single adult males being ushered into the country and paid for with your dollars. So it just goes to show the separate narratives and the indoctrination that they're trying to force upon you, all whilst allowing people to enter this country illegally. And am I for legal immigration? Absolutely. Can we have a conversation about maybe making that easier for people and creating an assimilation process? Absolutely. What we're not going to discuss is allowing more of this to happen. If you want to start a relationship with a country and you want to become a citizen, the worst way to start that relationship with a country is by breaking its laws. And that's exactly what every single person in that video is doing. And technically what the federal government is doing, because we have immigration law set in place. We have that Title 42 set in place. They are breaking the law by facilitating this, and they should be prosecuted for it.
Yeah, I think there's I think there's a little bit too much legal immigration, too. I think America is just becoming a place where anyone who hates this country is coming in here and taking advantage of it in many ways. So I don't necessarily agree. But this is a tough situation. Because what do you have in throughout human history when you put single men into a country with nothing to do? What happens to those men? Well, they become ornery. They become entitled. They expect something from the government, mm-hmm. you know, whereas in the future, I mean, what does the Bible say? If you don't work, you don't eat. That's essentially what the Bible used to say. That's how people used to live. If you were a single man living throughout history, you would have to find something to do to provide for yourself or provide for your family. Now, people are just coming in, single, unmarried men, mm-hmm. and they're not having to be held accountable for themselves, mm-hmm. and they can take advantage of systems. Like, what does that do to the framework of a country? What does that do to a society when you put single men who are not working into somewhere and just giving them free stuff? You ruin the country. You literally ruin the country. That is how nations fall, when you let people in who have nothing to do and expect something from somebody else.
And it's, go ahead, Taylor.
Well, I was going to say, you know, back in the day, immigration was seen as this thing where it's a melting pot, meaning you come in, you melt into the rest of the country and you begin to share the values and share those ideals. Now, these people come in, have children, send them to school, and where the kids are being taught about gender ideology and how racist America's history mm-hmm. is and how they're oppressed because they're minorities. And this is what is the social fabric that they're being woven into?
Yep.
We don't have a country because our culture is unraveling, falling apart. Our borders unraveling, fall apart. It's just we've just removed anything that once held us together and the values and ideals that were worth assimilating to.
Right.
What are you even able to assimilate to if we do open the borders?
Right.
But I will say there's a clear difference. Obviously, and we all recognize this. There's such a clear difference between people who immigrate here legally and people who don't. And you can stop any legally immigrated person on the street and ask them how they feel about this country. And 9 times out of 10, they love America because they had to learn about America's founding, about its tradition, about its laws in order to become a citizen. And there is a distinct amount of appreciation that you garner, not only from studying that, but through going through the process of becoming a citizen, which I will admit is not as easy as a lot of people paint it out to be. It can be very difficult to become a citizen of this nation, as it sort of should be.
Yeah, I see no problem with it being having a degree.
And you will find that those are the people that do love America because they fought and they worked and they went through the legal processes to become a citizen.
Yeah, case in point, my brother-in-law is a Brazilian immigrant to the United States. He mm-hmm. he did a foreign exchange program when he was younger, learned English, and then went back to Brazil, then came back legally, married my sister, and started that process. It took him years and years, and I was there at his ceremony where he became a citizen and along with a bunch of other people. And like these are teary-eyed people who mm-hmm. have been living in America for some time and very much like understanding the culture, have learned about our history, and this is a massive moment for them, and there's so many hugs and tears in this room because it means so much to them to become an American citizen. And that was a beautiful thing. And I want to make sure I mention that, you mm-hmm. know, to your point, and that it's not this thing where we don't want anyone to come. We just mm-hmm. want them to come and be a part of what this great nation is.
Yeah,
well, I only want them to come if they love America. If you don't love America and you're in another country, you should not be allowed to move here. Definitely not. It's like if you're an American citizen, you have problems with your government, that's fine. You live here. You were born here. You're a citizen. You can have problems with the government. But we don't need anyone else who's going to come in here and hate this country. I don't care if you're legal. Doesn't matter to me. I don't want anyone coming into this country who hates America. You stay out.
And we talk about it as if other countries don't have the same policy, if not harder policy to get into. Like, try to go to Europe and become a citizen and see how easy that is for you. Yet we have America somehow held to this standard that we are meant to just accept all and everyone who wants to be here.
It's because we're the best.
Simply not true.
It's because we're the best, you know, and they want...
We're the best for a reason.
Yeah, but we're the best for a reason, of course, you know, and they want us to feel like we are mediocre. They want to bring... They want to bring America down to be as mediocre as all these other places, you know? Right. And that's the wrong way. Like, there was that picture, and this is happening in the Western Europe, too. I mean, there was that picture the other day. I saw it was circulating around Twitter, kind of viral, about the pictures of the people in the European Union Parliament, mm-hmm. and it was all white people. And they were like, oh, like, this lack of diversity in the European Union is disgusting for the European Union. It's like, have you been to Europe? Like, it's full of white people. Like, that's what mm-hmm. Europe is. Like, Europe has a ton of white people. And you're saying that there's not enough diversity? Mm-hmm. Why don't we go to Nigeria and put a bunch of white people on their parliament or their board of government? Does that make a lot of sense?
Right.
It's like, no. so stupid.
It's a one-way street with these people.
Backwards.
It really is. And it's just like so black and white thinking.
It's childish. I mean, it's literally how a child thinks.
It's literally where white people come from historically, like through generations, you trace that lineage. It's like they come from Europe, Western Europe. So right. The fact that those countries have leaders who are white makes sense.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. Yeah. No one should be allowed in America who hates this country.
And people who live here that hate it should leave.
Send them out. Send them to Mexico. Send them to Venezuela. Send them somewhere else. You know? You want people who love America. You know, you can obviously criticize your government. That's fine. But as you should, we criticize the government every single day.
Yep.
But I love the values that this country was founded on. The things that make America, America, the framework, the fabric of this country and what it's supposed to represent to the rest of the world and to the citizens who were born here, right? It's the best country that's ever been created. And I don't want to see that destroyed by people who hate it. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's terrible to see people who want to destroy my country feel like they have a right to come in and destroy it.
Yep. So it's at least we're giving it a little bit of press because nobody else will. So big thanks to Bill Malugan for Fox LA. And yeah, we'll continue to follow it and see what comes of it. Since it's Tuesday, we're going to get into our Tuesday segment.
Before that, though, should we do the speaking of gifts and entitlements?
We're going to do this
I'm an illegal
end,
immigrant.
But we could do it before.
Okay. Threw a curveball to Amala. But yeah, let's do it now.
Okay, cool.
We'll do it live.
Guys. There's a program that you can be a part of today, and it's called Prager United. You guys know that Prager U is largely funded by just average Americans who see the content that we're creating, see the work that we're doing for people of all ages and go, I want to see more of that. I want to be a part of that. I want young people's minds to be changed in this country because that's what's at stake. Our values are at stake. So we do that. We make this content. We create Will and Amala Live through your donations to Prager U. We are a nonprofit, but it's not just you giving money and seeing the content created, which I think is enough, but we have a program called Prager United. And what Prager United is if you give a donation of $35 a month, quarterly, you will get gifts from everyone here at PragerU. And it's not like we outsource it somewhere right across our hall over here is where these are all packaged up and sent to you. So let's open this up. Boom. Gift number one. These are socks. I don't know if I can hold them close enough to the camera for you to see, but there is Otto, the world's most famous dog.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cute.
They are very cute.
Pretty
yes.
cute.
And comfy too. They're good socks.
And comfy. We also have Prager U socks. If you want your blue and orange lounge around the house socks. Very, very nice.
You can wear them to work too.
You could also wear them to work. Will would do that.
No.
With his board shorts and his t-shirt.
Well,
I however, would not do that.
Will wear socks with flip-flops, long ones.
Listen, my feet get cold. Okay?
Like the Will Witt socks behind you.
Yeah.
Right. We also have Will Witt socks in our shop,
PragerU.com. And a Will Witt pillow. You guys can buy that too. Shop.PragerU.com.
Then, you know, it's getting a little chilly out here. Even in LA, it's like in the 50s and 60s.
Freezing.
Here's a PragerU beanie if you want to rep your support for PragerU.
You want to look like Tim Pool while repping PragerU.
Right.
Get the PragerU beanie.
Exactly. We also have PragerU coasters. If you want to put your hot coffee on Dennis Prager's face, which I guess applies to leftists and conservatives. You can get PragerU coasters.
I hope he doesn't see that. He's on the show tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah. We also, you know, there's other political figures in here, but we love Dennis.
We kind of walked right into that one with that piece of merch. Huh?
I did. Then we have PragerU tumblers. How nice is that? Life, liberty, and happiness, and PragerU.
As
super
seen
nice.
Behind Amala on the set of Will and Amala Live, right there.
Right.
That's true.
Don't you want to feel a part of our set? PragerU Bluetooth speakers. Nice.
That's a big deal.
So you can blast Will and Amala Live from your PragerU speaker.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very big deal.
Red pill to people
or Neil Young.
Apartment next door. Or Neil Young.
PragerU pens in blue and orange. Super cute for all you writers out there.
One for him, one for her.
Exactly. Which one's which, you decide. Okay, you got a cute little PragerU apron that says a hot dog on it, and it's Otto. I don't know if you guys can see this. This is actually cute, and I actually want this, so I might just take this home because, you know, your girl cooks and she needs an apron. Okay.
Are you a member of Prager United?
I'm not a member of Prager United. Maybe I'll join all of you as a member of Prager United. Are you a member of Prager United, Will?
Yeah.
Are you, Taylor?
No.
Wow. So maybe we all need to join Prager United.
I give my $35 a month.
Then you have your little Prager U wine stopper for all you wine moms out there.
It's wine o'clock somewhere.
It's wine o'clock somewhere.
Live, laugh, wine. Yeah.
For all of you that are of age to drink wine. And you have this Prager U tote bag. Boom, 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 boom. A world committed to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. PragerU.com.
Totes legit. Yeah.
Like I said, guys, you can sign up for Prager United by donating $35 a month, and that'll get you Prager U gifts quarterly. So sign up for Prager United.
Yeah. Go to PragerU.com. Check out Prager United. You can sign up there, and we'd really appreciate it, guys. It's what helps keep all of our videos free for all of you on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, on our website. Everything we do is because of the generous support of donors like you. And also, if you want to give $35 a month and join Prager United, you can also not get the gifts. You can opt out of the gifts if you want to make sure that all of the money that you give actually goes to PragerU as well. So think about it. Really helps us out. PragerU.com. Check out Prager United. Yep. Thank you.
And now let's get into TikTok Tuesday. This first one is out of Melbourne, Australia, for the Australian Open, which has been in the news recently because of Novak Djokovic and him not being able to compete or be in Australia. But here's another piece of news. They're not allowing Peng Shuai statements at the Australian Open. And here's a video of that.
So you'd like her to take the shirt off? Can you just show us the shirt? Yeah. Yeah. So what do you suggest she wear? This, I can't take my shirt off.
Then I have to take one off you as well, yeah.
Okay, so what's happening here is a woman has come to the Australian Open to sit in, and she has a shirt that says, "Where's Peng Shuai?" For those of you who don't know, Peng Shuai is a tennis player that is missing after speaking out against the CCP. Where is she? Nobody knows. Does China have something to do with it? Does their government have something to do with it? Nobody knows. But constantly people have been asking, where is Peng Shuai? This lady decided to come to the Australian Open wearing that shirt and has been told by the security that Tennis Australia wants no political statements at the Australian Open, and that she must take her shirt off in order to go into the event.
That's a weird thing to ask a woman.
That is a very strange thing to ask a woman.
Quick update on this, though. I think since then, I'm looking at ESPN article, Tennis Australia has reversed course on the ban of Peng Shuai protests at the Australian Open.
See?
The wonders of internet media.
Yes, this is why we are James O'Keefe journalists all the time and posting the videos online of these kinds of things, because that type of pressure forces them to change.
Yeah.
To continue to film these kind of things and posting them on your social media.
It's just ridiculous that you would ever see that and qualify that as a political statement. And if you watch the rest of this video, they go on to say, this is not a political statement at all. We're asking where this young woman is, this young athlete, this like premium athlete. Where is she after she spoke out against the government? It's not a political statement to ask where somebody is, especially if a government has killed them. Now, you could misconstrue that as a political statement, but I would say it's simply asking, where is this young girl? And it's a very important question to be asking. And it's interesting that it's just been, you know, silent.
Right. If so I want to ask where Ray Epps is, I should be able to do it.
Right.
Yeah, if you want to go to the NBA game and ask where the Uyghurs are, or say free Hong Kong, you should be able to do that without getting kicked out too, like they did
exactly
a couple years ago.
Exactly. And it just goes to show you where the loyalty lies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly not with people who are being subjugated.
No, yeah, Australia trades a lot with China. They're pretty tight.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty tight with the CCP.
Next one we have what some would call some crazy Karens on an elevator confronting a young black man, which I normally wouldn't describe him as that, but it becomes important in the story about him wearing a mask. Here we go.
Get out.
Get out.
Yo,
get
stop.
Out. Get out.
What are you guys doing?
Get out.
What are you guys doing?
What's wrong with you? Don't touch me.
Don't you have
to. Do not touch me.
Get out.
Do not touch me.
Get out. I'm not touching you.
Do not touch
me. Oh, did you just hit me? Did you just hit me?
You just hit me.
You just hit me? You
too? Black Lives Matter.
Yo, this is racist. Wow.
Black Lives Matter.
Yo, stop. Stop recording. I don't know you. Yo, you need to stop.
Okay. I am so confused. There's the one thing about internet videos that they often lack context. I have no idea what has happened here. It's being speculated that it's because he was not wearing a mask, but I've just watched two ladies hit a black man and then scream Black Lives Matter at him.
While partially taking off their mask and then realizing halfway with it down, like, oh crap, I can't pull down my mask to yell at you, Black Lives Matter, and to put your mask on. So she replaces it and continues yelling at him and hitting him.
That's like punching a gay guy and saying gay rights and like punching him in the face. How does that make any sense?
And the guy was saying, shocked. They're telling him to get off the elevator, and he's like, no, I was on here first.
Yeah.
No, I've had people yell at me for not wearing a mask on the elevator before. You know, they say, you're supposed to wear one here. I'm like, no, it's okay.
I was just doing laundry the other day in my apartment building, and I was not wearing a mask in the elevator, and the guy was like there, and he was supposed to get on the elevator with me. He's like, I'll take the next one. And I was like, okay.
Fine. Yeah, there's this lady in my complex who lives next door to me. And I think she might know like who I am. But I'll see her walking. I'll be walking my dog, walking back to my apartment through this hallway, and she'll be walking and she'll have double masks on, and then she'll see me, and because I'm gonna walk past her, she will go back, walk outside, and walk all the way around the building so that she doesn't have to pass by me.
Crazy, crazy.
Is that not
crazy.
Insanity?
Yeah.
Like, look what this has done to people.
Brainwashed.
Crazy.
Outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In the open air.
All right. You leave to
Which
go
even
walk
the
around.
CDC acknowledges, like, that's you're not really at risk by passing someone outside on the sidewalk.
Right.
And yet
right.
she's walking all the way around just to avoid you.
It's just right. lunacy. It's
well,
just
she
lunacy.
Could, she could use the walking.
People's brains are broken.
To be a fly on the wall in that elevator, I want to know really what brought on that entire conflict. I'm just amazed.
I would also like to know.
I would also like to know. Anybody who's there, let us know. Let's have the two Karens on the
show. If you're
the
two ladies watching right now, please let us know.
If for vindication, we will let you on our show to talk about this incident in particular.
Uh-huh. Come, clear your name.
Clear your name, Karen.
Yeah.
What's Karen the right woke thing to do in their situation? Do you call the police on the black man for not wearing his mask in the elevator? Do you feel attacked by that? Or that's kosher? Do you call a social worker?
Who wants to be a millionaire?
I think you mace him right and say it's you for your him? Health and safety.
You assault a black man?
That is what, you know, Australian police would do.
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, yeah.
You're spraying him in the face with pepper spray.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what Canadian police would do. Australian police would do. I think that's the right move.
Well, that's because they don't carry guns.
There you go. Also that. So mace him. Mm-hmm. That's what they should have done.
Yeah.
Last one here. Are we putting... God, I can't even... Are there people putting litter boxes in school bathrooms because kids identify as cats?
Is this the answer to all the riddles?
Gosh, let's just watch the video.
The agenda that is being pushed through our schools is just my opinion, but somewhat nefarious when it comes to some of the activities. So let's talk about furries. It was addressed by a child a couple months ago. That they are put in an environment where there are kids that identify as a furry, a cat or a dog, whatever. And so yesterday I heard that at least one of our schools in our town has in one of the unisex bathrooms, a litter box for the kids that identify as cats.
I can't believe this.
And I am Jesus really Christ. Disturbed by that. And I will do some more investigation on that. I know it's going on nationwide. I know it is. It's part of the agenda that's being pushed. I don't even want to understand it. I think people need to be aware of it because I am really upset as a parent that my child is put in an environment like that. And, you know, I'm all for creativity and imagination. But when someone lives in a fantasy world and expects other people to go along with it, I have a problem with that. So I'm just putting that out there. I will investigate more.
I feel like she's just like, oh my gosh, I have
she's
to go
trying to
the school
to treat
board
it seriously.
Again. Yeah,
no.
She's like trying so
you
hard.
You can't treat unserious people seriously.
Gosh.
Unserious people don't deserve your serious aspect. If someone puts a litter box in their room and tells kids that they can be a cat and meow at them. Like, that's just...
I can't.
That's so unserious. We live in an unserious country.
I just don't know what to say. Just imagine being like, all right, guys, I'm here to address the school board today because they're putting doggy doors on the classroom doors, and I'm really against this because... And you have to, like, list out reasons why you're against that.
And the black kids are walking the white kids on leashes.
Right, it's just like... Oh my gosh. I can't believe it.
They eat school lunches out of dog bowls now.
I just can't believe having to seriously address somebody about this.
No, they should all go to jail.
I don't know what. Maybe like a sanitarium. Maybe a sanitarium because this is mental illness at this point.
This is just crazy. The question is if you're letting the kids go to the bathroom inside of the litter boxes.
That's the real question. It's a logistics question, really,
exactly.
If anything.
I want to know more.
Is it there for decor?
Yeah.
Or is it being used?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And who cleans it?
That poor janitor.
I know. Are the kids, like, licking themselves?
I don't want to know.
People mock conservatives about the whole idea of the slippery slope. And this is, but honestly, This is what happens when you can pick your gender, pick your pronouns, identify as anything that you want. You detach everything from reality and from biology and from truth, objective truth. And where do you end up? You end up with litter boxes in classrooms. Because and teachers, I saw another headline that a teacher was being threatened to be fired for refusing to meow back at a furry student.
The classrooms are already litter boxes with the stuff that they teach people, and now honestly, they're putting actual litter boxes inside of them.
Yeah. Litter box inception. This is what's happening. This is a tragic day for our country and our union at large. This needs to be addressed. I don't know how it needs to be addressed, but somebody needs to do something about it. There's so few times that I get shocked on this show. This is shocking.
Oh, it's horrible. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. And someone needs to take responsibility.
This is the worst day of my life. Yeah, honestly, somebody.
I don't like it. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
And I think, you know, just for the sake of shock factor alone, this is where we end the show. Thank you guys for watching. I think I might be done doing this job after that story.
Oh, Amala.
I think I'm throwing in the towel.
Need you.
I think
once
the giant
people,
is far
once
bigger.
Once they start putting kids in little bird cages, that's when I draw the line. Yeah.
You gotta draw it somewhere.
Yeah,
remember when
everyone's
they were,
got a line.
Like, remember when they were mad about kids in cages and now they're like allowing kids to identify as birds and putting them in cages?
But you can't put the Mexican kids in the cages.
Right. You have to make sure they identify as a bird first.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, really clarify that.
A little chickadee.
Yeah, yeah. My pronouns are cheep, cheep.
Chirp, chirp self.
Chirpin, chirp self. I'm done. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for watching. We hope you're watching on the Will and Amala Live channel, our new channel. That's where we're going to be streaming from now on. Eventually, we'll be streaming there exclusively instead of streaming on PragerU. Plus, we're posting clips and exclusive content for you guys. So I can't wait to have that channel grow. And you can help by going, subscribing, clicking the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. That is every single weekday at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. Leave a comment down below. What's the next step in these schools? Are they going to implement doggy doors? Are we going to go play fetch with the kids instead of doing recess? Mm-hmm. You describe down below what you think the next step is with wokeism in schools, and I will cry reading your comments.
Yes, and guys, I am off to Europe.
Yes,
I will be sending videos and all sorts of stuff for the show while I'm there. I'll be all over the continent, so I am quite looking forward to it. I'm going to miss doing the show every single day, but we'll still be doing interviews and all sorts of things, and I'll have a lot of cool footage, and we'll be checking in, kind of reporting on what's happening over in those countries across the pond. So, just my sign off for you guys.
Amala, people are asking about Pepsi because we put that in the title, and I don't think we touched on it.
Oh, yeah, we didn't touch on it.
Oh, last story, guys. I forgot about that. Boycott Pepsi was trending this morning because apparently after the GOP passed their abortion bill in Texas, Pepsi gave a hefty donation of $15,000 to the Texas GOP, which I'm sure really put a dent in their pro-life legislation and really helped them push that forward. But now some libs have found out about it and they are, quote unquote, boycotting Pepsi, just like they boycott Hobby Lobby, just like they boycott Chick-fil-A.
Starbucks the other day.
Yeah, just like they boycott Starbucks, which I imagine will last a whole of 48 hours, if even that, because we all know they're very strong about their boycotts.
Right, they need their 2 liters.
Right,
give it up.
Right.
And this is the same thing like Pepsi donating this money to the GOP is the same thing like Pepsi donating money for exercise programs in schools when instead they should be fixing their drinks to stop making people fat. I mean, they say they're like do this fake philanthropy work. That's basically just marketing for them. You know, all of these things are all marketing. So, you know, if they want to go boycott it, fine. I think conservatives should boycott things too. I have no problem
Great,
with that.
Sure.
But if, you know, it's just stupid.
Yeah, hashtag boycott Pepsi, guys. Really, you're really doing a lot for the world.
Boycott soda. Soda's bad.
Honestly.
For you.
It's like, I would go buy Pepsi in response to this, but I would not be drinking. I would just be pouring it down the sink. So there's really no point.
Yeah.
Literally, Coke can clean your hubcaps, ladies and gentlemen. So do I really care that people are not buying Pepsi? By all means, don't buy Pepsi. It's not good for you. Right. But
no, soda is directly linked to obesity in people.
Yep.
I mean, definitely.
Give me your soda. I'll drink it. I'm not afraid of it.
Taylor's not afraid. Taylor's a lot braver than Amala and I.
Maybe they'll call it out and say it's fat phobic to boycott Pepsi.
Well,
Eat your own heart out, libs.
Uh-huh. Eat your own litter box.
Eat your own litter box out, libs. Oh, gross.
Oh, God.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for watching. I'll see you tomorrow with Dennis. Bye, guys.
Bye.